I have a special tie with Escalon Presbyterian Church, and unfortunately, I was saddened to hear of the passing of Wayne Engle a few weeks ago. Wayne and Shirley were members at Harvest Presbyterian Church when I was growing up. In fact, Wayne was my fifth grade teacher. So it was very peculiar to see your teacher at church on Sunday morning. And of course, I knew Lloyd and I think it was Grace, knew there were members out here, and we'd see each other at Presbytery events. And a rich tradition of people who built the church, were pillars of the church. And he passes that torch of leadership and enthusiasm and doing the word to us. So it's a privilege to have known Wayne, and I sympathize with you all in the loss of Wayne for this congregation. If you were to win the $300 million lottery, would you just put it away and live like it didn't matter? If you inherited your rich uncle's Italian sports car, would you park it in the garage and just drive your beat-up Toyota around? If you received the precious gift of eternal life and grace and forgiveness and had new life from God, would your life change? Would you keep that news to yourself? Hate to break it to you, but you're not going to win the $300 million, and your rich uncle, if he has a Ferrari, most likely is not going to give it to you. Although I heard a story about a lady who called her pastor and said, "Pastor, you must come to our house and break the news to my husband, Jim." "What news? What news is that?" And the pastor's, the wife said, "Well, I bought a lottery ticket and we won $1 million. But Jim's got a heart condition. And I'm afraid if I tell him, he's going to have a heart attack right there." Pastor said, "I'll be right over." Pastor goes over and sits Jim and his wife down and says, "Now, Jim, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And something good, sometimes good things happen to good people. In fact, Jim, you just won $1 million in the lottery." And Jim just kind of was stunned. And the pastor said, "Now, we had to break it to you like this, Jim, because we were worried about your heart condition, and we didn't want to start something trouble with your heart." And Jim said, "No, no problem at all. I was just wondering what to do with it. And you know what, Pastor? I'm just going to give it to your church." And the pastor had a heart attack right there. Oh, in case you haven't picked it up, I like to laugh a little bit. Sorry for the snowman joke this morning. I couldn't resist. I figure in that age group, that's the only thing I could relate to is... The truth is, the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the grace, the forgiveness, new life has come to us through Jesus. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It's not something that we achieve by doing. It's a free gift of God. And we have that within us. What do we do with it? Do we just put it away as if it didn't matter? Or do we do something with it? I like this passage in James. In fact, the whole book of James is a collection of wisdom, of things to, you know, tidbits of information and a collective argument about not just receiving faith, but doing something with it. I often wanted, when I was in seminary, to hear an imaginary debate between Paul, who was a free grace kind of guy, and James, who was a kind of a works guy, and have him duke it out a little bit. But one thing James makes clear, and he says it later on in the chapter or the book, faith without works is dead. What he's saying here is that seed of faith that has been put within us, like those little beet seeds I was showing the kids, needs to grow and manifest or show itself in good deeds, in doing things with that faith. Not just put inside us. The beets I planted, if I would have failed to water or failed to weed them or provide for their care, they would wither and die. God wanted them to grow. I planted them in August, and it was too early because the sun got them and they died. My second batch, though, is growing. They're little tiny guys. That seed that I planted in the ground is growing. And God wants that seed in you to grow and bear forth good fruit. And James talks about that here. He says our faith must be one of listening and doing. He says we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Good advice for anyone. God gave us two ears and two eyes and only one mouth. I'm sure you've heard that before. It's great advice for a preacher. Oh, did I really mean to say that? Listen, preacher. Oh, yeah, okay. But we need to do something more than just listen to a word. How many hours have you spent in the last couple weeks in front of the TV? If you're like me, it's a lot. I watch a lot of history shows. I like that. I like the cooking channel, the show Good Eats, and I even got a Cuisinart for Christmas, and I'm cooking more. But we as a people love to be entertained. And too many, or many people have brought entertainment into the life of the church, and we go to kind of listen and to hear the message and not be so much doers. Think of all the programming that you've watched on TV, or where is the prime spot of warmth in your house? Is it in front of the TV? Or in front of the table, the dinner table? Those are another thing we like to do a lot. I listen to the news radio every morning getting up, and there's a little computer company or outfit for a gizmo called a Roku. It's a box, a gizmo that gets signals from the internet and plays things on your TV. And the commercial is very funny. A very patriotic song is going in the background, and it says, "My fellow Americans, due to the ingenuity and entrepreneurship and the Herculean effort by many people, our country is great. But you should get a Roku and sit in front of the TV and watch unending episodes of Big Bang Theory. You can let somebody else discover a cure for cancer or let someone else clone a sheep. But you should sit in your sweatpants and drip hot chocolate onto them while you watch unending episodes of your favorite game show." It's a funny commercial, but it's true. How many Americans sit in front of the TV just watching life go by? Too many. Too many for us. We must be doing. And James used an interesting analogy here. He used an analogy of a mirror. Now, they didn't have mirrors then, but they had shiny metal surfaces that were mirror-like. And it's kind of funny, if you look into the original languages here, he uses an illustration of a mirror in a masculine sense and in a feminine sense. Now, hang with me here. A man looks at a mirror as he's dressed, "I'm good," and he goes. A woman looks at that mirror and does this stuff and does that and looks and checks out the whole thing and really intently looks at herself. James uses this analogy that we should not just look at a mirror quickly, but we should look intently at it, bend over, actually the root of the word, look, bend over and look at it. He says, look at that perfect law of liberty, which is the gospel, and really study it. And later on he says, if you don't do something with your faith, it's worthless. He says, he uses the word vain. And vain is a direct reference back to the mirror issue. He's playing with language here a little bit. We need to not just listen like we do a quick look in the mirror, but we need to do, intently do, which is a intensive look in a mirror where we get things adjusted and we are blessed by it. It's an analogy to the Bible. Are we listeners or are we doers? I bet you most of us listen a lot, and we do some. We all probably could stand to do more. Back in 1876, on the 100-year anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, one Civil War veteran who was a pastor of the Presbyterian Episcopal Church in Vermont decided to write a hymn. And he pens down the words to a hymn. His name was Daniel Craig Roberts. It was the only hymn that he's known for making. And he submitted it anonymously to the committee of the Presbyterian Episcopal Hymnal Committee. It was accepted, and it was a song that was sung in honor of the 100th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was sang to a different song, and 12 years later, at the 100-year anniversary of the Constitution of the United States, another fellow named Warren, George William Warren, wrote the music for it, and he called it the National Hymn, and the two were merged together and became the song God of Our Fathers. It was inspired by a verse in Acts 22 that says, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you might know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. This Daniel Roberts and George Warren were doers of the word, not just hearers. In those two anniversary celebration years, there were a lot of parades. There were a lot of parties and speeches and opportunities to sit back and just listen. But those two put some work into it and did something. Something that we now have in our hands as a great hymn of the church, and we're going to sing it in a moment. Now, as a sideline, people who want to make everything politically correct tweaked it around and made it God of the ages, which is true, but it was designed to be God of our fathers, the fathers of our country, the ones who signed their name on the dotted line and risked their fame and fortune and very lives to start our great country. As we sing that very special hymn, to me it's also special in this life of the congregation at your 100th year anniversary. Are you a doer of the word? Are you a hearer of the word? We should be doing more than hearing. Our focus in our church should not be just Sunday morning. Sunday morning is kind of our time to gather and celebrate and to worship God, but the real work of the church goes on throughout the week, individually. In those we work around, those we come in contact with, the voice of God speaking through us to someone in need, a voice of friendship or cheer, sharing a cup of cold water, serving on a committee, advancing a cause for something we believe in, and we feel God is leading us to. Be doers of the word and not just hearers. So for 2013, as we move ahead in this year, I would challenge you to take your faith and do something with it. That seed that was planted as a small little thing in you when you were little has grown up, and now that needs to bear fruit. As I was driving here today, I was admiring the fields, the trees, the almonds, the peaches I saw, the apricot trees, all neatly pruned and ready. Their wood is red with tension as it gets ready to burst out here in the spring. And that's an image of the church, ready to grow and to bear fruit. And that would be my challenge for you. As a congregation, you have a great group of people. You have a lot of young people here. Our biggest mission field is not in China, is not in India. Our mission field is right there with these kids. If we don't do a good job of bringing faith to them, our church will die. Yes, we need to send money to missionaries in India and China, and we need to be part of that. But every generation is the next mission field. So I'd encourage you to be doers of the word. There's a lot of Sunday school classes that need to happen, a lot of vacation Bible school that needs to go on, a lot of ministry up at camp that needs to shape these young people to the leaders, to the doers in the future. Let's make that happen. Let us pray. O God, our help in ages past, would you be with us as we seek to be your people? May we be true doers of the word and not just hearers. May we look intently at your word and your will for us, that we might be blessed by your presence with us, that we might know your will, that we might feel your strength with us in all of life. I pray, Lord, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.